Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord speaks to us in the heart. That's where our will is formed. That's where we make a decision. In the last 2 days, I've been talking about how love helps us to receive God's word. Love believes all things. So when we hear something new, anything of God that's new to us, it helps us, the love of God in us helps us receive what God said. The love of God is after God. The love of God will chase God. The love of God desires to be just like God. Not in the sense that Satan said. See, Satan, he started the sin war. That's what it is. He started a sin war against God for no reason. I mean, he didn't have any credible reason to do this. He was on a lust greed mission. He was fueled by pride. He wanted worship. He tried to take God's kingdom. He tried to exalt himself above God's kingdom, the whole kingdom. Now, in the kingdom of God is huge. But this is what he attempted to do. The last statement he said, I will be like the Most High. So the Lord made us in his image. We become like him as we operate according to his love. If his love is in us and remains in us, it will ever develop. Ever develop. Forever. And I'm talking about permanent developments along the way of life. When you walk on the narrow road, the way to stay on the narrow path is to stay in the love of God. Because not only does the love of God desires to be like God according to his perfect will, the love of God wants to serve like God. It wants to bless like God. It receives what God has to say. And when people who love God prosper, they rejoice in their prosperity, not because they want to just lavish their life. And they receive blessings to do better and better. But the greatest joy to those who really love God is that they're equipped to serve mankind in a greater way. And that gives you purpose. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You're blessed to be a blessing, and you enjoy life in the process. When a good man, a loving man, he don't mind going to work, especially if he do what he like doing anyway. But when he receives his paychecks, he can take care of his family. I got a cousin. He said, I'm glad that I stayed in college. He became an electrical engineer. He said, my mama taught me into staying and sticking with it. He said, and then when I got out, I made those big checks. He said, I'm so glad I stayed in college. Now I can make big checks. He made big checks, which he did. Now, I mean, he had the kind of check that he could probably go buy a brand new car in those days. And, just one or two checks he could buy a brand new car in those days, in the 60s or 70s, well, 70s when he got out. But it blesses a man he can do something using his mind and his wit that God gave him to serve man, and then he can serve his family, and then when he go to church, he can contribute, and when he, whatever he's doing, he's serving in society. Some people feel like, well, I want to do something for God. I want to, you know, some ministry-wise. I said, that's good. I said, what do you do? And then they tell me what they do. My brother-in-law did. He told me what he did. I said, everything that you're doing is contributing to society, even on your job. All day long, you're solving problems, and it's blessing people. And all you have to do is, and if you have a kind attitude, you're representing the Lord. You can, everything you do can represent God. You have to represent God in your position. You have to represent God in your audience. Your audience is the people that you're around every day. You can't control that light. Not supposed to do that, but you can be the light that they need. And your conversation can be good. And when you live a life that loves other people, people will confide in you, and they're looking for people that they can trust, because the way of God is desirable. And when people start stepping toward it, God looks at that. They're leaving what they know, and they're trying to learn something that they don't know. It's just like Abraham. He left his nation, his kindred, and his father's house, and went to a land he didn't know. All right? Wherever people came from in life, whatever happened to them, when people tell me that backstory, some things were just, it's a lot of drama, and it could be a movie. But, and it helps you understand, the enemy tried to stop them way back then. He tried to put things in their life to mess them up. But the backstory, when people come from that, they don't know, that's all they know. And then when they see the light, they come to it. Well, the Lord recognizes that, and that's precious to him. So every soul is precious to me. And if my life works according to the love of God, and I love people like Jesus loved me, and I'm representing the Father because of the blood and the word, the washing of the word. I've been washed in the blood, and then I'm washed in the word. I form into his likeness, and it gives people a representative. See, he made us representatives. A representative is a priest. A priest is a two-way representative. We represent people to God, and we represent God to people. So when people lash out at you, when they're angry at you, when they love you, anytime you're responding, you're representing God. And then you can see, you can sympathize with their pain, and you can represent them to God. You can ask God to bless them, heal them, help them see, open their eyes. You can fight the spiritual war for them until they get strong. And even after they get strong, you can keep Satan out of the way. You can remit their sins. Henry Grover said, when you remit a person's sin that's not repenting, you're forgiving their sin and they're not repenting. Then the load of the sin is lifted, so that they can see God without restriction. And it's lifted for a while. So when you remit a person's sin and they're not repenting, you're giving them a chance to get out from under the trap. Jesus said, you have the power to forgive sins, and you do. And since I mentioned Henry Gruber, whom I really love his ministry, the Lord had sent him to prayer walk many cities in this world, and he would walk down every street praying and remitting the sins of the place. Wherever there's bloodshed, and he could hear the blood crying from the ground. When he would remit the sin of the blood and the bloodshed that was done in that area, people stopped dying in that area. Because when blood is spilt on the ground, and I didn't know that. I read right over the scriptures that prove it. Whenever somebody died in Israel, the priest was supposed to go and remit the sins of that place, and it could to stop the bloodshed. Now, most of the time in my life, when God tells people to do something, they do the opposite. But the faithful people will always do it God's way. So they'll have the result of God. Many Christians don't do what God specifically said, so they don't know about the power that they really do have. But when you love God, you're receptive to him, and you can remit sins. Whenever somebody get killed, now after listening to Henry Grover, I go to where somebody died and I remit the sins of that place. And it can, there are places where people have continual accidents. Now, Henry Grover said this many times. And they had continual accidents. And people said somebody's always having a wreck on that road or dying on that road. Well, here, the Lord would lead them to prayer walk that road. And guess what? No more accidents. That was a place, I want to find the one when he was in New York. That was a neighborhood so bad that the ambulance wouldn't go in there. They would meet the people at the grocery store. And they wouldn't go back there. The police wouldn't go back there. And the people, it was so corrupt. People had extension cords running from place to place. Nobody would go, the utilities wouldn't go. It was, I never heard about such a place. And the Lord sent them to prayer walking. And the pastor in that area said, no, don't go there. And his son said, listen to the pastor, don't go back there, Dad, just don't go. He said, well, look, I'm going. The Lord told me to go, I'm going. What I want you to do, if they kill me, I want you to go get my dead body and take me back to that grocery store and pray over me and raise me from the dead, and I'm going to go back and finish prayer walking. Well, he, and I've been looking for that same video for a year now, but it was so interesting. But he prayer walked that area, and the wickedness stopped. People moved away that shouldn't have been there anyway. They tore those houses down and built new apartments and houses, and he came back. It's a booming place. It's prosperity there now, where there was dark poverty. When blood is spilt on the ground, and it gives, it's like a covenant for Satan to do more damage. But when you take that land back and put it back into the kingdom of God, it can prosper again. You know, that's how it was with Habu Island. He broke the curse of that land. He went and prayer walked the land and put his foot on every idol that people would have their fetishes and their rituals and their false gods. He put his foot on those false gods and remitted the sins of that place. From the first thought, deed, action, as far back as needs be. That's what he was saying. And anybody that come back there to do that kind of idol worship, they'll be face to face with the blood, the mind, and the spirit of God. And the poisonous snakes, which would bite people, they would die. They would take two steps and die. He remitted the sins, and all the snakes were gone. All the adders, it was an island full of adders. They called them Habu. And they called that Habu Island. In fact, in World War II, they did not put weapons on that island because nobody would go there because of the tremendous amount of snakes. But when he prayer walked it, the snakes left. And he went back, I think it was 6 years later, and they built a bridge to the island, and they were farming it and everything. He met the man that was clearing it off. He said he hadn't seen any snakes. So this is why we must learn what God has to say. You have the power now. You're equipped now. You have to receive the word to access what you've already been covenanted to do. God, the word of God is your covenant. The love of God in you helps you receive, believe, and agree with it in perfection. Sometimes people agree with the word based on how they were taught, based on what somebody said, based on missing. They believe, if you believe any misinterpretation, it will interfere with how you see the word of God. And you'll read, when you study the word, you're reading doctrine into it. But if you read scriptures only, it takes longer to get rid of the dead doctrine. If you read chapters, you can get rid of the dead doctrine faster. If you read books and if you read the word day and night, the deception will be exposed. And all the dead doctrine that people pick up along the way, the misunderstanding, the dead doctrine, the false doctrine, the doctrines of devils, they'll fall away. But if you don't, when people don't have the love, the living love of God in them, I'm not talking about a little love. I'm talking about that innocent first love where I want to do all that's in God's heart. When that's the case, then you can receive what God is saying and incorporate it in your life. And you can be the blessing that God designed you to be. You can find out about old covenant blessings that people have forgotten and stopped preaching about. And the Holy Spirit will alert you to it and show you how to perfectly appropriate it in your life now. The windows of heaven will open to you. God can, and see, when people are, when you have foundation, when you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you can't do nothing but prosper. You have the life of God. You can see ways and opportunities that truly exist. And you can, the life of God will form in you. And you can do all that's in his heart. It's not hard. It makes your life better. It's not that it makes your life easier. It makes it better. And you can do things one time and win. When you're thinking more worldly, and I'm not talking about just sin. I'm talking about when you live selfishly, when you live without the knowledge of God, in that sense, worldly. You know, you do things according to the world. You're not going to go but so far in life. If a man becomes a dentist, he doesn't study the word. He's good at what he do. He'll have the results of being a dentist that don't study the word and don't know what to do. He'll be able to be good in his profession, but he might fail in life. His marriage might fail. He may not make heaven. He won't be able to give his children the advice they need. But he succeeded in one point. He's a good dentist. People like to go to him. He may not be a conversationalist. He may lack in other areas. But when you study the Word of God, you become well-versed. You become, your marriage can increase. The way you raise your children increases. Your friends, your friendships increase. The Lord show you how to help people where they're at. All kind of things open up when you start studying and receiving the Word of God. You start having, you become blessed in so many ways when you take time and receive what God is saying. Anybody that's receptive to the Word of God, they become greater in every way of life. Things open up. You don't keep making the same habitual problems. You can live, you're laying aside every weight and the sin that's so easily besets. All these things happen when people are receptive to God's word. The love of God in you is the only way that will work. God can tell you things, explain things. He can make it plain as day. But until his love in you is strong enough, you'll let things slip that shouldn't slip. You'll misinterpret what God, you won't receive and cling to what God is saying. But the failure, and there may be failure, that doesn't mean anything. You're just going to, if you increase your love walk, you'll start trusting God more. Because you'll start receiving what God is saying. When the Holy Spirit wake you up and give you a dream, you'll stick with with the plan that he give you. And that's when you become anointable. And if you stick with it and use the anointing, a lot of people waste their anointing. They don't do anything. They don't do enough with it. Most preachers preach maybe twice a week. But if you say, Lord, you anointed me, and this anointing is powerful. Traditionally, preachers preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night sometimes, and Wednesday night. And some churches have double services. But their anointing is much more powerful than that. And there are ways to use the anointing more. and not get burnt out. See, fellowship with God is the key to increasing in love. The Lord told Joshua to study day and night. This is, don't look at studying as a labor. I listen to the word all day long. When I'm awake working, I got the word. I'm just receiving the word, and God is making things plain. And when He wants me to do something, it's easy to do. And it bleeds out into other areas of life, the way you think, your relationships, your advice, ideas for business, all kind of things open up when you're continually studying and receiving what God had to say. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to fill your cup all day long as you're receptive. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord, Savior, and King, our friend, and we're the firstborn among, and He's the firstborn among many brothers.